Hello, welcome to Live Well Lifestyle Seminars with Perrier, where we talk about life challenges and how we can work to overcome them before they cause health problems. Today I'm really walking my own talk. I started out with a song by Bel Air, which was a little band that one of the band members worked for me when I was first starting out in the clay business, and I love her music. And that was, you really got me going. And today I'm walking my own talk on these talks because my mind has really got me going, and I'm using all my tools to stay on top of it because I'm plumb out of my comfort zone. At 76, I have planned and am hosting a family reunion for 30 people at a lake cabin that I rented in Wimberley, and I'm cooking all the food for them. And I keep thinking, okay, why am I doing this? And then I remind myself that I have some great nieces and grandnieces and nephews that I've never met before. And it's been 10 years since I've seen some of my nieces and nephew and great nieces. I've gone to grand now. And it's about time we got to get together before it's too late. I'm excited to death and at the same time fearful. I lay in bed at night thinking, okay, I need to take this. Do I need that? How much bread do I need? How many pounds of this? And I've cooked all week, but I'm really more excited than fearful. And this exercise that we're doing today is just in divine order to where I am. So I want to share that with you and hope it will help in your life when you encounter stressful situations. The topic today is everything is okay, or as my friend Paul says, oh clay, everything is okay. My intention for today is to have the faith to trust that all things that happen are in perfect order to steer me to my highest good. Sometimes life needs to set up roadblocks to get me back on the path of my deepest desires. I intend to trust the unknown detours. Now that's a biggie. Something happens that you weren't planning yesterday. I had planned all this cooking to do, and I had somebody that came by unexpectedly and stayed for about an hour and a half. We had a lovely time, but it got me off schedule. But I just trusted that I'd get everything done, and I did. And I did it without extra fear, without extra stress. Oh, I have to hurry. I have to do this. And another thing, I intend to look for new opportunities beyond my current awareness. So when I hit these obstacles, I look for new ways of doing things. Beyond my current awareness, in other words, in my current awareness, oh my gosh, I'm not going to get everything done today. So I look for new ways of doing things that not only can I get it done, but I may even slip in a little extra time in there. So you are the creator on some level of your own reality. You are hardwired to create the life you want or don't want. We do it with our thoughts, and I've been talking about this forever, I guess. Be careful what you think, say, and do. And here's a quote from Tracy McMillan. When you ask for patience, what you get is a line at the bank. In other words, life gives you the people, places, and situations that are going to allow you to once and for all develop what you need to handle those situations. So you learn to have patience waiting in line. So be careful what you ask for, because sometimes we can get what we really don't want more than what we want. So you want to go beyond that when you're wishing for something and say, I wish for a smooth day that I can get everything I need done and have time to enjoy, to go outside and enjoy nature or to be with friends. So you just have to word a little bit differently. I found this quote, I thought it was so powerful, and this really describes where I go sometimes. It says, remove the veil so I might see what's really happening here and not be intoxicated by my stories and fears. Isn't that great? Remove the veil so I can really see what's happening here and not be intoxicated by my fears and stories. And it's so easy to go to the fear thought. My daughter is having a homeroom, or she's a kindergarten teacher, and this is the day the parents come up and bring their children and meet their teacher, and they have it set up in two shifts. And she's been working all week to get the room ready, and she gets a little nervous dealing with the unknown, and yet she always has so much fun. She loves meeting people. She loves meeting the children and the parents. And when it's all over, she's so excited about it. But she always gets a little antsy before. So I just have to remind her to kind of quieten and breathe and remember that this is what she does so well. She is great with children in kindergarten. She can handle little moving creatures with their mouth flapping all the time and does it with joy and fun and laughter and manages to get them corralled when she needs it. So, comes from the wisdom of Oprah. No experience is ever wasted. Everything has meaning. So no experience is ever, ever wasted. In nothing that happened in your life, good or bad, was wasted, because from it there is a gift. There's always something you can learn, something you can do in the future to help others. So no experience is ever wasted. So don't have any regrets. Everything has meaning, and you can grow from every experience. Here's the thing. Can you accept it all? Can you trust God has orchestrated a universe where everything that happens is devoted to bring you to a higher place for your good? Can you believe that all your experiences have gifts for you? And I think that's the hard part when you get some people in your life don't like the negative experience with them and it hurts. How do you get beyond that? Well, sometimes they're there for you to practice saying no, honoring yourself, respecting yourself, walking away if they don't value your values and aren't going the same direction, be willing to let go and walk away. And we need practice. We're not born knowing how to set boundaries. That's a learned process. So often we draw the same type people until we learn to speak up for ourselves, to have a little chutzpah and say, wait a minute, you're stepping on my boundary. That's not appropriate for me. So if you want to do that, please go somewhere else to do it. It takes chutzpah to do that. So don't be afraid to speak up and speak your truth. In the long run, you'll be respected much, much more for it. And I know we've had this quote before, and I think it was last month, but it's so appropriate for now that I'm going to go over it again. The only way to build faith is to act without knowing the end results. The only way to build faith is to act without knowing the end results. We are always looking for guarantees in our life. We want it to be simple and not to get hurt, and we want a guarantee. If I let go of the pool, the edge of the pool, are you sure I'll be able to swim to the other side, or somebody will be there to help me in case I can't? It's that sort of thing that keeps you in a box of no hope, those fears. So can you have faith? The only way to build faith is without knowing the end results. Now, I don't cook a lot anymore. I used to a long time ago, but I'm 76 and I just don't do it. And I've changed this menu so many times. And I've got to finally get to where I'm finally trusting. I asked two friends to help me with the cooking and to help me with the shopping and making my lists and all, because I can just go bananas and think, this house has nothing there, and I have to bring everything from my house there. And that's not the case. And there is a grocery store in this town. So if we run out of something, it's no big deal. We can run up to the grocery store and get something more. But you can lay awake at night or worry during the day or fret or get into your story. And instead of doing things and clicking off the things on your checklist, you seek every opportunity to tell people about the story. Oh, I've got all this to do. Oh, my goodness, how am I going to get this done? I've got to make 8 pounds of sloppy joes and how many pounds of potato salad and, you know, oh, woe is me. Let go of the woe is me. It will get done or somebody will help. There are people that are coming. If I don't get all the strawberry slice before I get there, there's going to be 30 people there, and I know a lot of them are going to volunteer. What can I do? And I said, oh, I need help slicing strawberries. And there you have it. I don't have to do it all. Isn't that amazing? I don't have to do it all. I can accept help. So the only way to build faith is to act without knowing the end results. I have no idea if everything is going to get cooked to my satisfaction when we get there and on time and in a timely manner and that things aren't going to go haywire somewhere. We left a pot at home and are going to have to make do with something else. But I can trust that it'll get done. And my highest goal, I want time to meet these nieces and great nieces and grandnieces and nephews. I want to get to know my family. I want to reconnect with them. So I'm not planning on being in the kitchen 24/7. I've got stuff that I've fixed ahead so that we can just get it out and get after it. And like I said, if we run out, we'll go to the grocery store and buy something else. I'm going to go with the 3 fish and the 5 loaves of bread philosophy on that. So the only way to build faith is to act without knowing the end result. If you could see the finish line, you'd understand why things happen as they do. If we could see the end result, we would be so much more relaxed. Well, trust the end result is there. And trust if it's not, you'll know what to do and it will be perfect. For now, you'll need to keep the faith and trust that if you pay attention and stay committed to taking the actions that will make a difference, you'll end up exactly where you're supposed to go. Stay in the game. The finish line is only a moment away. These are excerpts from Cheryl Richardson's book, Stand Up for Your Life. Develop the courage and confidence and character to fulfill your greatest potential. That's a pretty long title, isn't it? But I like what she says about faith. And I understand that. We want the guarantee. I have so many people calling me and say, if I take this clay, will you guarantee this, that, and the other thing? And all I know is that the odds are it's going to help. And we have proof from so many people to show that. And it's not going to hurt you to take it. So, what's the big deal? I drew a card, a law of attraction card, and it said, what if everything was always working out for me? Wasn't that in perfect order? When you play the what if game, look for things to make you feel better. There is never a situation in which there is not a way out. There is never a situation in which there is not a way out. There's always a solution. But out of habit, most people continue to choose the lack perspective until they eventually find themselves where it seems that there are no more choices. But as you hold to your intention to look for evidence of well-being and thriving and success and happiness, you will tune yourself to the vibrations of those things, and so those kinds of good feeling experiences will dominate your life. So when I get bogged down, I'm just going to think about those little toddlers that I've never seen, and I get to go pick them up and hug them and squeeze them and probably scare them to death sometimes. This is your aunt, great aunt, great grand aunt Perry, and you've never met her. And, you know, that's going to make it all worthwhile. it's kind of like having a baby for all you ladies. You know, when you're going through the labor, it's kind of difficult. And after it's over and you're holding that baby, you don't even remember the pain and the discomfort for the last 9 months. And I drew a soul coaching card, and my card was sanctuary. And this is what you do when you get stressed out from a challenge. We have to have a sanctuary, a place to go and quieten your mind, to get regrounded, to get settled, to come back in your body. Your energy is outside of you as you're striving and thriving, trying to figure out what to do. So everyone needs a sanctuary where they can go and meditate or breathe or just sit and get back in their body. You'd be surprised when you're on full go, your energy is outside of you and you need that energy inside of you. Your soul wants you to know. Oh, okay, let me read the sanctuary card. Go within and find your inner refuge. Be a safe haven for others. Step forward with grace, deliberation, and thoughtfulness. Take moments for reflection. And that's what we're talking about, taking moments for reflection. Your soul wants you to know it's in times of retreat and inner sanctuary that you can truly hear the voice of your soul, the voice of God, the intuitive, the Holy Spirit within you, your inner intuition, whatever you want to call it. So it's in times of retreat and inner sanctuary that you can truly hear the voice of your soul. You have to quieten your mind and stop the chatter and be still to hear the solution, and there's solutions waiting there for you. Create a place of beauty in your home or in nature that feels holy and sacred. Spend time there and carefully listening to your inner voice. If you've been pushing too hard or struggling to keep going, this is the time to be still and nurture your inner world. Draw nourishment from the wellspring inside of you. Think carefully about decisions you make at this time. Proceed with care and deliberation. Retreat, reflect on your heart's true desires. Access your divine guidance. When you retreat and you act on your heart's true desire, that brings you, sometimes we get off our path, we stray, and we feel a little lost. And when you get in that quiet space and go within and realize, okay, what is it I really want from all of this? What I really want is a time to reconnect with my family. I'm 76 years old. I'm not going to be here in a good mind forever. And while I have and can go have some fun and go to the river and rent a house and cook food, I want to do it. This is living. I'm not preparing for death. I'm preparing for living. I want to be closer to my family. We're all in, live all over the place, and everybody's got kids that are busy and so many things, so it takes something for us to get together, and we have to make an effort to do it. So I'm making this effort. This is all for me. I'm very selfish in this. And I like to be in nature. My quiet spot is on my front porch. I have some big easy chairs there, and I have a beautiful front yard and lots of flowers, and I just like to sit and have my coffee or tea and sit on my front porch. That's where I have my God talk every morning. I have to go outside and look at my beautiful yard and be thankful and in gratitude and appreciation and have a little talk with God. And sometimes I say, what are we going to do exciting today? Show me some gifts. You know, you have to ask. And I can appreciate my neighbors. I have the most wonderful neighbors in the world. They just would do anything for me and are always supporting me. In fact, I need to get one over now because I have two light bulbs out in the bathroom. I usually wait until I get two out to ask them. So, and then my affirmation for the soul card would be, I'm divinely guided gently and lovingly. I'm divinely guided gently and lovingly. So when you get in your quiet space, when you get off track, when you don't have time to get everything done, that's the most important time to lock your office door, to go somewhere, and to be still. Just 10 or 15 minutes, and you'd be surprised when you can quiet your mind, get out of panic mode, and go to that inner part of your soul and find the answer that's waiting for you. And we do have a few clay questions. It seems like I give two of the clay teleseminars a month, so it seems like we always have a few people that forget and come and bring their clay questions. And I'm going to go over and see if I can find them. Let's see, I think I'm going to have to go my emails here. Okay, some questions are Marie in Philadelphia. Is it okay to use hydrated clay as an enema? Do you use the same mix ratio as oral use? You could, if you had hemorrhoids, you could take the clay mass, the soupy mud. You want it to be, you know, kind of like chocolate pudding, and you could squirt that just a little bit up into your rectum and leave it there. If you want to do a full enema, I would ask to every pint of water, add two ounces of the premixed liquid clay. And if you think you need more, if you have more healing, you can always increase the amount. So, you know, just play with it and find what works best for you. What goes in is going to come out, and it's going to help while it's in there. So that's a good question. Marie in Philadelphia, does clay absorb minerals that our body needs? Is it safe for the elderly to take it? It is very safe for the elderly to take it, and they probably need it the most. Clay does not rob you of nutrition or the minerals or the supplements. Some people wait about 30 minutes is what I recommend away from taking your supplements. I don't even think you have to do that. I'm not concerned. I get up and wash my hair, and I take my vitamins, get dressed, go in the kitchen, and, you know, have my breakfast or my morning drink. I usually drink a juice breakfast. And then I take some clay, and I have energy. I do not sleep during the day. People keep calling me and say, were you taking a nap? And I look at them like they're crazy. I don't feel like I need a nap. Even with all I did yesterday and was on my feet and working so much, I didn't need a nap. I need to get in a clay bath, but I didn't need a nap. But clay is very good for the elderly, because when we get elderly, we get over acidic. And by the way, there were studies that they did on that, and they can prove that it doesn't bother your mineral absorptions or doesn't bother your nutrients. It helps the acidity. When we get older, we tend to get over acidic, and it helps bring that body into balance, balance the acidity. It helps heal anything in the gut. You not only want to take it, it helps arthritis, achy joints when you drink it, but apply it topically on their legs, because often when they get inactive, their legs get swollen and the circulation gets slow, and then their legs start turning dark. And if you will keep clay on there, wrap it on their legs, the clay mass, the mud, the hydrated clay, put it on rather thickly, wrap some saran wrap around, leave it on all day, all night. If you can put it on their feet and wrap it in saran wrap, put a sock on at night, let them sleep with it on there at night. It's going to soften their heels, their skin. Their skin gets really dry when they're older. Very good for the elderly. If you have any more questions, just give me a call. Cheryl in Cumberland, I've recently started drinking liquid clay and have noticed I'm constipated. What is your suggestions? Well, Cheryl, 10% of the people that take clay get constipated. 90% have three good bowel movements a day. Your digestive juices are out of whack. There's something going on in your digestive system, because clay doesn't of itself cause constipation. It's trying to right something, and things are out of balance. Oftentimes, it's cleaning out old fecal matter that's lodged in that lower colon. And if that's the case, you need something to soften it to help pump it out. I suggest over-the-counter magnesium tablets. Now, there used to be you could go and just buy a bottle of magnesium tablets. And if you looked on the back where it says ingredients, it's magnesium oxide. Now they have a lot of other magnesiums for different things. There's magnesium stearate. There's magnesium caltrate. There's something called Calm. Just take the magnesium oxide, 250 milligram tablets. You can take one twice a day or two twice a day or one and a half. Find what works for you. Our bodies all need more magnesium. It's not like a harsh laxative, and it's, you know, it's a good supplement for you to have anyway. A lot of us are taking a lot of calcium, and magnesium helps make the calcium bioavailable. You actually need to be taking a little bit more magnesium than calcium, and we get a lot in our food, so most people don't even worry about it and aren't concerned about it. But that's what I would suggest. Get those over-the-counter magnesium oxide. 250 milligram. They have them in a larger one if you want that. But it will work very well, a larger amount. Okay, let me look. I think we have some more here. Here's one from Chicago. How often and how long do you recommend to have coffee and clay to normalize and fix colon problems such as constipation, IBS? Thank you. Keep up the good work you're doing. This is from Carol. Carol, I think you're talking about coffee and a clay enema. You know what I would do? I would drink up to a half a cup to a cup of clay three times a day if you really want to fix colon problems. This will heal your colon. It will shrink polyps. It will heal diverticulitis, leaky gut, irritable bowel syndromes. I had Carol on about a month ago, and she told us about how she healed her gut problems. She had all of those things and Crohn's disease. And she started drinking the clay, and she drank it for 4 months. She knew she had an obstruction in her colon, was going to have surgery. And eventually that happened, but they only had to remove 8 inches of her colon. And when they got through, the doctors were standing around and wondering what she had been doing to change her colon from that of a 70-year-old to that of a 20-year-old in the last 4 months. And she had literally taken the clay to the hospital with her, and she was drinking a cup three times a day. She's doing it aggressively, and it worked like a charm. It got rid of a tapeworm in her liver. It got rid of 4 cysts in her liver. The smallest was 7.5 inches. The longest was 10 inches. It dissolved them. They went away. They couldn't find the tapeworm when they went back to check and thought, well, they must have made a mistake. But it really amazed them when they went in, because she'd had so many colonoscopies when they went in to do the surgery, how healthy her colon was. The inflammation was gone. The colitis was gone, ulcerative colitis. So if you want to do a coffee enema and clay enema, that's fine. But if you really want to fix it, get on drinking a cup, 4 ounces to a cup of clay three times a day. And I think you will find you feel amazing, you feel good. It's really not hard to drink. Make a large bottle. I make it by the 32-ounce bottle. And to a 32-ounce bottle, you need a cup of clay. You just want to put half the water in, put your half a cup of clay, shake it real good, get all the lumps out, add the rest of the water, and shake it again. You can leave it on your kitchen cabinet. Clay doesn't spoil. It's inert. It's been had all the impurities burn out through the volcano, and this is a pristine bed of clay, so it's very pure. And it will not spoil or go sour on unless you get some contamination in it. I've kept it for as long as 3 months, and it was as fresh as the day I made it. Okay, I'm going to go back over to our website and see what we have here, if we have any more questions. And since we don't have clay questions, I'll get back on our wellness topic. And my closing thought for today, I just love. And this is Byron Katie, and I think you've heard me talk about Byron Katie. She is one that wrote the book, Loving What Is. You know, reality is what is. Just love that. Quit trying to change it or be stressed out about it. Just be in the moment and love it. It's always temporary. Okay, her closing thought is, everything happens for me, not to me. Isn't that beautiful? Everything happens for me, not to me. So you are not a victim. Just control your thoughts, go to those happy places, think of the good times, lift your vibration, seek the goodness. Be careful how you ask for what you want. And go to those happy places, and you will find that everything truly does happen for you and not to me. Well, our time is up, and I am going to, I'll look one more time to see if we have any questions. I don't see any now. So I'm going to thank you and get back to my cooking and planning for my weekend, and I hope all of you have as much fun and joy this weekend as I'm planning on having. This is Perrier, over and out.